Welcome to Prophecy Countdown with author and pastor Kenneth Bear. Join us every week for the latest updates on what the Bible has to say about the events, the characters, and prophetic signs of the return of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. Make sure you not only subscribe, but like your favorite episodes and share it with your friends. Now, on with the broadcast.
Welcome to Prophecy Countdown. The title of my message today is number 387, The Judgment of the Wicked, and will be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 37. And we'll be looking at this parable, often called the parable of the unjust servant, but it also speaks of the coming day of judgment. Now, as the name of our podcast implies, all of our podcasts typically have a prophecy thread. More than 25% of the Bible has prophecy in it, so it's not unusual for us to come across something that has to do with prophecy. And now we love answering questions, and particularly we like hearing from our video and audio listening audience. So if you have a question or have an idea for a future topic, send us an email at prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. So let's get into our message today. Again, number 387, The Judgment of the Wicked. You know, Jesus was a masterful storyteller. He spoke in parables, and not only are his parables amazing and engaging, but it's a very powerful teaching tool. It's actually used today. The parable of the wicked servant is really no exception. Like many parables, there are multiple applications. Multiple applications, including forgiveness, fairness, and mercy. And we'll see that in this parable today. And there are issues that we struggle with in everyday life. You know, it's not easy, but as this parable suggests, it's essential that we forgive. Life is not always fair, but when it's up to us, we are to treat people fairly. Most importantly, there's a moral imperative for all believers to be merciful. Jesus taught his followers to be merciful. In Luke chapter 6, verse 36, Jesus says, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful." Now, this parable is often quoted, and that's why Jesus teaches in parables. These parables, I've mentioned before, are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Now, as I've mentioned, Jesus said that these parables reveal mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. However, Jesus said that many would hear these parables, but they would not understand because they're not truly listening. Jesus said that we need to see with our eyes and hear with our ears, and we should understand with our heart. Now, this parable of the wicked servant was a parable Jesus told that might easily be misunderstood if we don't understand or we don't realize that it has a significant eternal kingdom perspective, and that is the judgment of the wicked. Let me read this parable to you, and then we'll dig into the many applications of the and also the primary message. Now, reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. Jesus says, or actually the gospel says this, it says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times.' Jesus says to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, the master commanded and said, commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the entire debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him to by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So the fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but he went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master said and called him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry, delivering him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his heart, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Okay, so as we get started, remember this is a parable. Now, in parables, there's lots of interesting dialogue, lots of details, and things that contribute to the story that can't all be taken as a spiritual lesson. For example, in this parable, we do not owe God any money. And if someone owes us money, we're not obligated to forgive the entire debt, just as the government recently forgave college debt. Parables are about the kingdom of heaven. And in this parable, we see a king, and we also see servants, so we can be fairly certain of the connection there. So let's take a look at some of the specifics, some of the details in this parable. The parable starts off with a question from the Apostle Peter. Peter is not one to keep silent, so he asks the question. He says, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. Now, likely there had been some conversation about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a central theme in Jesus' message of love and compassion and reconciliation. Forgiveness releases us from anger, from bitterness and resentment. So Peter was looking at forgiveness as a transaction rather than a holistic attitude. Peter's question implies a mindset of keeping score or tallying offenses, as if forgiveness is something to be metered out, to be measured out, as in measured doses. Actually, some scholars tell us that the Pharisees at the time had an accepted limit to forgiveness of an offense up to 3 times. So Peter, knowing the Pharisees said 3, said 7, knowing Jesus most likely would be more generous than the Pharisees. However, Jesus responds to Peter's question by saying this. He says, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. See, Jesus' response challenges Peter's transactional view. By using an exaggerated number, Jesus illustrates that forgiveness is not limited or to be quantified. Instead, it should be offered generously, unconditionally, without keeping track of offenses. But of course, this leads to the main teaching, which is this parable. While this parable is often called the parable of the wicked servant or the unforgiving servant, the topic of my message today, however, is the judgment of the wicked. Notice that at the beginning of this parable, Jesus says that the king is going to settle accounts with his servants. Now, if you think about it for a minute, this would not likely be a periodic accounting reconciliation. You know, typically we settle accounts when we're done. You know, recently I stayed in a hotel with my wife for a few days, and at the end of our stay, we settled accounts. You may have a new house constructed. It may take a number of months to have the house constructed. At the end, you settle accounts. You settle and you reconcile the amount owed. And it said, this is what it says. It says, when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. You see, at the very beginning of this parable, there's something very, very important that we need to understand. We need to hear. My Bible dictionary tells us that today's value, 10,000 talents, depending on whether it was silver or gold, could be a figure anywhere between $224 million to $10 billion. This figure clearly represents an unpayable debt. There was no way that the servant was going to be able to pay that amount. But what happens? Well, I'll summarize. The man can pay. So the king plans on selling him and his wife and everything that he has into slavery. The man pleads for mercy and the king forgives him. The king wipes the entire debt as settled. And this is an extremely important part. If you don't do the math, like I just did, you may miss it. The servant had a debt he couldn't possibly pay. This is a kingdom principle. No matter how good you are, no matter how many good works you have, the kingdom, the Bible says that there's a fly also here, that there's no way that we can repay the debt that we owe. God, however, forgives it. And how does he forgive it? Well, his son, Jesus Christ, paid the penalty. He paid the debt. He paid a debt that we couldn't pay. He paid a debt that he didn't owe. You see, this is not transactional. This is a relationship. The Bible says in the Gospel of John that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of flesh or blood or the will of the flesh, but the will of man, but of God. So let's get back to the story. The king forgives the servant of this huge debt, but the servant is wicked. Well, how do we know that the servant is wicked? Because that's what the parable tells us. The king says, "You wicked servant, I forgave you of all the debt because you begged me. Why should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity or mercy on you?" You know, the Bible, this parable uses the lack of forgiveness, the lack of mercy, as a couple of the attributes of the wicked. But there are actually many more. Nevertheless, the application of the righteous clearly stands. In context, and even going back to Peter's question, an application here of this parable is to make us more forgiving, not less forgiving. Also, we see that the king in this parable references mercy and compassion. Again, you know, I reference Luke chapter 6, verse 36 at the beginning. The Bible tells us that we are to be merciful, even as our Father in heaven is merciful. So let's jump now closer to the end of the parable at the punishment of this unforgiving, wicked servant. The master delivers him to the torturers. And there's an application here that that some can be tortured because of their unforgiveness, but the kingdom principle here is actually the judgment of the wicked. Revelation chapter 21 speaks of the final settlement with the just and the unjust. Here the King of Kings is settling accounts. Revelation chapter 21 says, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.'" But, the book of Revelation continues, "but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstones. This is the second death." Now, this last verse, verse 8, lists various classifications of sinners who will die in the lake of fire. These are the wicked, just as this unforgiving servant was wicked. Now, this does not indicate, though, that a person that has committed any one of these sins is automatically doomed. Nor does it mean that people are free to commit sins that are not listed here and not considered wicked and deserving of punishment. Instead, this parable is like these verses in Revelation. They describe two broad groupings of people: those who are in union with God because they have received Jesus, they've been forgiven of their sins, and those who have not. And every single one of their sins adds to an account that cannot possibly be settled. Every one of these sins is actually counted against them. The judgment of the wicked is a theme that winds actually all through the Bible. It starts back in Genesis chapter 2, God's warning not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. It's always lingering in the background. The Bible makes it clear that actually we're all guilty. We are all deserving death, physical death, yes, but more importantly than that, the book of Revelation calls the second death. And here's another reference, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, just as though as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." You know, God doesn't leave us without hope. While we don't deserve forgiveness and while we deserve death, God gives us life instead. God gives us what we need, not what we deserve. God, through Jesus' death on the cross, actually forgives us, settles the account. Because of this forgiveness, we are set free. Our debts are forgiven. But this isn't a transaction. It's actually the beginning of a relationship. We're forgiven so that we can therefore forgive. And this isn't just an ability. It's actually an expectation for followers of Jesus Christ. This is one of the primary applications here in the Bible, this parable. There's a judgment coming for those that are wicked, for those that of us that have received Jesus. We can become more like Jesus. This is the fruit of the Spirit that the book of Galatians speaks of. It's a relationship with our fellow servants. We can have joy and love and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the role of those who are one with Christ and not wicked. Let's go ahead and pray. So, Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to gather in.
Nearly every day, it's common to see, read, or hear something about the end of the world, the apocalypse, or end times. Author and pastor Kenneth Bear's The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom zooms in and breaks down biblical prophecy as it relates to Jesus' imminent return and the coming seven-year period, including the Great Tribulation. Available in both paperback and Kindle versions. Get your copy on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble and select Christian bookstores. The title again is The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom. You can also find it listed by author Kenneth Bear. Get your copy today. Thank you for joining us on Prophecy Countdown with Pastor Ken Bear. Don't leave without first sharing the latest episode with your friends. Be sure to join us again for the latest updates on Prophecy Countdown.